Pastor asked me to teach today, so I'm going to do that. I was supposed to teach last week, but the Lord had a different agenda. And so we're going to flow with the Lord today, and he's going to teach. So expect that you will receive from the Word of God. We're going to expect that God's going to speaks to us from His Word. Father God, we thank You for this time that we get to come into Your presence, Lord. Lord, we thank You that when we get to sit at Your feet and learn from You, we ask, Holy Spirit, because You've said that You are our teacher and You are the revealer of all truth. I ask, Lord, that as we get into Your Word, Father, that You will uproot by Your Word that which You did not plant. And Father, that You will sow into us the Word. It will not be stolen from us by the enemy, but that it will grow deep and it will produce much, much fruit in our life. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So expecting to receive?
Yeah.
All right. Okay. We have been talking about recently this past few weeks, this whole month, about moving into our position. We're going to move into our position. When we say that about move into our position, what does that mean to you? When you think of that, I'm going to move into my position. Anything. The place that God has for me. What else? What's our position? When you're standing strong against adversity. What else? Who we are in Christ. Our position, who we are in Christ. Understanding who He is, understanding our authority that we have in Him. Walking in that abundance of everything that God has for us. The Word says in John 10:10, then He says that the enemy has come to seek, kill, and destroy, right? But what does God say then? Jesus came for what? Have it abundantly, that we would have a life abundantly. We'll see if I have that up here. John 10:10. The thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus said, I came that they would have life and enjoy it. Are you enjoying life? Can we enjoy it more? We can enjoy it more. We can enjoy it more. Sometimes the world, the stuff that goes on, it attempts to wear us out and steal our joy. But that's not what God, the plan that God had for us. He said that I want to come so that you're going to have it full till it overflows so that it's splashing out on everybody else around you. Amen? He says in 3 John 2, Beloved, I pray above all things that you would prosper and be in health even as your soul prospers. Even as your soul prospers, every single area of your life as a believer, God did not come out to punish you. He is not a God that's walking around with a great big club waiting to pound you over the head. That's not who He is. It's not who He is. He said, my heart is that you would be blessed in every area of your life. No brokenness, no discouragement, no disappointment. Flourishing in your relationships and your health and your finances, in your mind, in every area of your life. He wants that. That's what His Word says. So we're going to get in agreement with His Word. We're moving into our position. We move into our position through this intimacy. Intimacy with God. Intimacy with God. He says this in Matthew 5:6. Blessed are they that hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be what? For they shall be what? Filled and completely satisfied. Satisfaction to the max. He says in Psalm 42:1, a skillful song or dictative reflective poem of the songs of Kor. As the heart, it translates into deer, as the deer pants and longs for the water, so I pant and I long after you. My inner self thirsts for you, for the living God. When shall I come and behold the face of you? My tears have been my food day and night, while men say to me all day long, where is your God? Thirst. Thirst. He wants us to hunger and thirst for Him. At the beginning of this year, I had asked the Lord. I said, Father, I want a deeper intimacy with you. How do I do that? You know, what came up in my spirit was, then develop the intimacy within your marriage. One. Because our marriage, and it says in Ephesians 5, that our marriages are to be a reflection of the relationship that Christ has with the church. And so when people see us, they should automatically be seeing Christ. And the same thing that as they get closer to God and they're thinking about marriage, they should automatically think of us. Think of what they, how they've seen that reflection of marriage, that intimacy, that oneness. And so I tell you what, this month, I have been focusing on that in intimacy within my marriage. And you know, that's just something as simple as, let's see what I have up here. Reflection of God, Ephesians 5. He asks us to be attentive, responsive when he calls to listen, to communicate with him, to make him a priority, just as we would our spouse. And this is something that how often, too often, does the Holy Spirit, maybe we're washing the dishes, we're doing something else, and the Holy Spirit's coming and tapping on our shoulder and saying, come, come be with me. And we're too busy. Busy, burdened under Satan's yoke. Our mind is too occupied. How often, if we're at the dishes, we're doing something, our spouse walks up to us, or we're watching TV and our spouse walks up to us and just wants to talk to us or wants to sit to us, but we don't even acknowledge them because we're too distracted with the things and the cares of this world and the stuff that's going on with our kids all running around. We're too distracted. And so I'm telling you that if you want to move into God's position that he has for you this year, it starts with intimacy. And just do something as simple as if you're married, just start focusing on the intimacy within your marriage. And start just giving them a hug when they walk in the door, saying, hi, honey. Giving attention to them, listening to them, stopping what you're doing, listening. Because as you do that, it'll start to make you sensitive to when the Holy Spirit calls you and says, come, come be with me. Let me just love upon you. It's all about intimacy with God. He says this, that in order to develop intimacy, we have to attend to his word. Every day. I used to get so hung up. I'm a very all or nothing kind of person. And God is changing me. Praise God. Thank you. That I am learning how that I used to think I had to have my quiet time with God. I have to read this much. I have to spend this much time. Or in some way, maybe I disappointed him or I walked away with just this feeling of, oh, I kind of let him down. But now that I've spent time in his word and attended to his word, brethren, for the first time in my life, because I know my father. I didn't know him before. Just like Job said at the end, you want to understand about Job? Make sure you read all of Job. And the very last chapter talks about when Job admitted, I just had knowledge of you. I only heard about you, God. I didn't know you. But when you sit at his feet and you attend to his word and you just take one scripture and you begin to mull over that. Pastor says, farm it. I mull it. I till it. He farms it. I till it. But we think about it. Just that one scripture. The one scripture. We're thinking about that and thinking about that and asking the Lord, Lord, tell me about this. Talk to me about this. What does this mean? Intimacy is all day long that we have with the Father in our car as we're disciplining our children. There's intimacy with the Father in every single aspect. A lot of times we like to, God was talking to me about how in praise and worship, that a lot of times we like to stay in the outer courts. We just stay in praise because that's where we feel comfortable. But we struggle in going into the inner courts, the most holy of holies, because of shame. Because we don't think that we're worthy enough. There's a fear in us that when God looks upon us, he's going to be disappointed and he's going to look away. But that's not at all. See, everything about this, do you want to live this year the same way that you lived last year? Do you want to approach everything in life in the exact same way that you did it last year? No. We want to go higher. We want to go deeper. So we want to move into our position. So in order to do that, we have to attend to His Word. We have to take that Word. And when you come in here, you come in with a place of expectation. Luke said it one day in discipleship, that you're ready. You have your Bible. You have your notepad. You have your pen. You're writing things down. You're listening. And then you're going, whatever pastor says, you're writing it down. You go back. You look over it. You meditate on it. You think about it. You're asking the Lord to change me, Father, from this just one simple word. And all it does, it is just one simple word that will set you free and take you to that next place. It is that simple. So I have done this. I've seen it work because I've gotten in His Word. I know who the Father is for the first time in my life. And I know who I am in Him. And it is a joy to be able to walk in front of the mirror. And I look at the mirror almost every day and I go, "You're the bomb." I do. Isn't that fun? I do. I say that. I stand in front of the mirror, and it's not out of arrogance. It is not after a boasting. It is after a boasting of what Jesus Christ has done in me. Because I know that in myself, I can do nothing. I know nothing. I have nothing, and I am nothing. But in Jesus Christ, I can stand in front of the mirror, and I say, "I like you. I love you." Because of Jesus, I can do all things through Him who gives me strength. I am the righteousness of Him. I am fully loved. I am so accepted by Him. I am approved by Him. I am His righteousness. That I've got the power of Jesus in me. I can go and lay hands on the sick and see him recover. In the name of Jesus Christ, I get to do that. We get to do that. It is an honor. It is a joy. But it is only because I've attended to His Word. This right here says what? It says, "My son, attend to my words, consent and submit to my sayings. Let them not depart from your sight. Keep them in the center of your heart, for they are life to those who find them, healing and health to all their flesh. Keep and guard your heart with all vigilance, and above all that you guard, for out of it will flow the springs of life. Put away your false and dishonest speech." That's something as simple as reprimanding yourself, speaking ill of yourself, getting in agreement with some thought that's trying to come in to get you to doubt. Put away that talk, willful and contrary talk, the idle talk, the doubting words. Put it far from you. Let your eyes look right ahead on the fixed purpose. The fixed purpose. When you're fixed on Him, it doesn't matter what's going like this all around you. It doesn't matter. You're in your boat and you're fixed on Him. There might be a little wave that's going to come along, but you're not going to fall into the river. Consider well the path of your feet and let your ways be established and ordered aright. Turn not aside to the right hand or to the left. Remove your foot from evil. Attending to His Word. Meeting Him face to face. He says in Joshua 1, he says this. He said, "Meditate on my word day and night." Meditate meaning mull it over. Think about it. Ponder it. Talk about it. I talk the word all the time. I talk to myself. People look at me in my car. They probably think, "Who's she talking to?" I talk to the Lord all the time. My kids say the same thing. "Who's she? Mommy, did you say something? Who are you talking to?" "I was talking to the Lord. It's okay." And I talk. I talk the word all the time. I talk about who I am in Him. I talk about what He has done for me. That is one way that I enter into intimacy with Him. I just talk to Him. And I love up on it. He says in John 15, if you abide in me and you allow my words to abide in you and you continue, allow them to continue to live in your hearts. You're attending to them. You're applying them. Whatever you ask, it shall be what? It shall be done. Say it. It shall be done. Whatever you ask. There is nothing, I tell you, if you abide in Him and you are hooked up to the vine and you are meditating on His Word, everything that He desires is becoming your desires. You will never ever ask for anything that is not in agreement with Him. This is why you have to know the Word. You have to know the word in order to know what to get in agreement with and what to ask. You got to know the word. You cannot just trust the person standing up at the pulpit. But you got to know what the word of God says. I love this. I love this. I don't think I ever really saw this before. And just recently, he began talking to me about this. There's a part in here that I quote all the time. And that God wants to do exceedingly abundantly above all that you can ask for, that you can dream, that you can imagine. Do you agree with that? That's what that word says. He wants to do abundantly above everything that you can ask. I call it a 10-inch frying pan. A 10-inch frying pan mind that God wants to stretch it. God wants to stretch our mind. I never saw that right before this, it says this, where it talks about doing exceedingly abundantly above is in verse 18. Oh, wait, no, it's in verse 19 on the next one. But it says this, it starts in 16. This is just a great one to pray over anybody, yourself. May he grant you out of the rich treasury of his glory to be strengthened and reinforced with mighty power in the inner man. I'm speaking this to you now. I'm declaring this over you. By the Holy Spirit himself indwelling your innermost being and personality. May Christ, through your faith, actually dwell, abide, make his permanent home in your hearts. May you be, pay attention to this, may you be rooted deep in love and founded securely on love. That you may have the power to be strong, to apprehend and grasp with all the saints, and I love this, God's devoted people who are the saints, the experience of the love. What is the breadth, the length, the height, and the depth of it? That you may really come to know practically through the experience for yourselves the love of Christ, which far surpasses just the knowledge without the experience. That you may be filled through all your being unto all the fullness of God. That you may have the richest measure of the divine presence and become wholly filled and flooded with God himself. And then that in 20 is where it says, now, he's saying, now this is going to happen. Now, this is what comes after the verses before. When you've grasped the revelation of his love, when you've sat, you see a lot of us know about his love, and we go around and we're saying, God loves me, but we haven't really got a revelation of his love that we're pleased with us, and he adores us. And we're absolutely beautiful. And there's nothing that we could ever do to disappoint him. But when we get that revelation, we receive that love from him. Now we can love him and love somebody else the way that we're called to. There's no way you can love your spouse until you receive the revelation of what God's love is for you or love anyone. Without that revelation. So it's because when you get the revelation of God's love and you just want to run around, then he says, then this, now to him who, by in consequence of the action of his power that is at work in you, that power is the dunamis power. That power is the miracle working power that is working within us. It is able to carry out his purposes and do super abundantly far above and all that we dare to ask or think. Infinitely beyond our highest prayers, desires, thoughts, and hopes or dreams. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Does anybody in here want to do big things for God? Yeah. Big things for God is evangelizing, going around the world. But also big things in God is just, you know, somebody cuts you off when you're driving and you don't get angry. You walk in love. You get a temptation to yell at your child and you don't. You choose to walk in love. That's big things for God too. Because you submitted to him. You submitted to him. And if you want to walk into his position that he has for you this year, and you want to see this happen where he's going to do superly abundantly above all that you could dare ask or think, then you have to put yourself in a position at his feet. And get a revelation of his love so you can hear him. There's a lot of things that plug our ears. All sorts of things. This is one of them. We don't understand the love of the God, that the Father has for us. Allow the word to try us. This scripture came up in Pastor a couple of weeks ago. And It says this in Psalm 105:19. This is talking about Joseph as he was in prison. And it says this, until his word to his cruel brothers came true, it was until the word of the Lord tried and tested him. The word will do that. It will try and test us. It will try us. Sometimes I think that that's, maybe I'll just speak for myself, but sometimes I haven't wanted to get in the word because it's like, I don't want to see what I need to change. But what the word does is it reveals that maybe that we're believing it. It reveals, we'll say, it exposes the lies that we're living under. It exposes the lies. And that is how, one way that the word tries us. So it exposes the lies so that we can get the truth and move beyond, uproot that wasn't planted by God, and move beyond that. So we want to allow the word to try us. I want to read this right here, something that I put in my journal. The Lord spoke, and I want to share this. It goes, this is something God spoke. He says, well, this, he says, beloved, there has been an extreme and intense shaking in and among you, my people. This has been for the purpose of revealing aspects of your lives that need redemption. These are things that must either be transformed from flesh to spirit or be removed altogether. This reformation is vital in the time of preparation for my bride, says the Lord. And you must deliberately surrender everything that is resistant to this process if you are to proceed in my purposes. To hide or protect your carnality is to resist the cleansing. Revelations 19:7 says this, let us be glad and rejoice and give him glory, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his wife has made herself ready. We want to be ready. A ready bride. A ready bride. Intimacy with him. I can't even call to you enough about intimacy. So we move into our position through intimacy, and we stay in our position through peace. We stay in our position in peace. I'm going to go very quickly through this part because I want to be respectful of time. We stay in that position of peace. I have been pursuing peace these past few months, and it is just mighty fine. I like being in peace. Have y'all been in peace before? The superabundant peace of God? Oh my, it's just amazing. We stay in our position by exercising the supernatural peace. Jesus Christ says in John 14:27 that he has left this peace with us. There is the supernatural peace that it is not like what the world gives. The world gives that everything, we are at peace, it is by emotions only. We are at peace when everything is going good around us. Amen? I've done that sometimes too. And I am just now learning how to walk in the supernatural abundant peace of God. Peace is actually resting and waiting on him and trusting wholly in him. As you know who he is, you know who you are in him, you know that he's not just trusted, you don't just have the knowledge that you can trust him, but you have a revelation that he's trustworthy. There's a difference there. You have a revelation that he's trustworthy. So therefore you can rest. You can rest in all things. As a result of intimacy, we no longer have a knowledge that we can trust him, but we have a revelation that he is trustworthy. There's power in peace. Peace protects you. It guards you. It is a garrison. It says it's a gatekeeper. When it says it guards, it is a gatekeeper, meaning that peace literally stands at the heart, at the gate of your heart and your mind. And it decides when you say, I'm choosing to walk in peace, Lord. I know who I am in you. I know that I don't have to fear this. I am choosing to walk in peace. Then peace stands right there. And when any type of doubt or unbelief comes against you, it says, nope, you're not permitted here. You're not permitted here. These grounds belong to the Lord God Almighty. You go. It is a temptation to lose our peace. It is a temptation, but we rise above the temptation. We resist him. We resist him, and he flees. Does he not flee? Because the power and authority in Jesus' name. It acts as a garrison, I said. Isaiah 26:3 is a great one, how it guards and keeps. If we commit ourselves, lean on him, hope confidently in him, it gives us strength. I love this verse. For thus said the Lord God, the Holy One of Israel, in returning to me and resting in Him, you shall be saved. In quietness and in trusting confidence shall be your strength. Isn't that good? I can actually say, I'll give you very briefly the testimony of Sophia. And this is how this verse was put into action. Sophia, our third little baby, fine until the 7th month of pregnancy. I developed preeclampsia. Preeclampsia didn't agree with my body. The enemy attempted to try to kill me and my baby, our baby, through that. She was born prematurely. During the delivery, my placenta separated from the uterus. Sophia's oxygen was cut off for 30 minutes. For 30 minutes, she was born dead. They resuscitated her, blew a little hole in her lung, rushed her off. She was fighting for her life. Brain activity was pretty much null and void. They finally let us go in and see her. And there was peace that came in and it guarded. And it was probably one of the most challenging things that in a sense came up, because we had to walk not by sight of seeing our baby look pretty lifeless. You couldn't even find her amongst all of the plugs and the monitors and everything hooked up to her. But the Word of God welled up in me, and I was so thankful that we had meditated and had a revelation of healing. And we spoke into her body. And we said, we don't receive this. And we spoke into her body, and we said, you shall not die, but you shall live and declare the works of the Lord. And we went back to our room, and the next day the doctor came in. And I tell you, God sent him in there. He was there. He was the only one there. Mark wasn't even able to be there at that time. But the doctors came in, and there were like five of them. And they all came in. You know, that can be kind of intimidating, can it? All five doctors got to give you this report. And there were five doctors that walked in, and the neonatologist began to just tell me the quality, the poor quality of life. She's not going to die, but this is the quality of life that she's going to have. And immediately, the peace began to protect me. I was at total peace, and it gave me strength. And I just remember I kind of stood up, not physically, but there was something in me. My spirit stood up inside. And the word came to me from Isaiah 54, and it said that no weapon formed against you shall prosper, and every tongue that rises up in judgment shall be condemned. And I said under my breath, I don't receive this in the name of Jesus Christ. And then I went about my business. I was done with it. And they said that she would be in there a minimum of 5 weeks. And she was in there for 7 days. 7 days. God did that. Every day, another monitor, another tube came out. She began eating on her own. It was just amazing. It was amazing. They kept saying she's ridiculous. They called her ridiculous. It's ridiculous. She's a miracle baby. This is not normal. Super baby. They took her blood, because they wanted to study it. They thought she had some super DNA. And I was like, yeah, she's got God's super on her natural. She's got His DNA all over her. Isn't that funny? And so in 7 days, we left with our beautiful little girl. And she's rocking. And she's a joy, isn't she? She needed to be up here today. She loves to dance and sing. She's so cute. I really like her. I really like her a lot. So God did an awesome miracle there. And then out of that came the prayer cloth. The Holy Spirit gave that idea. And now that's going out. That's going out. Almost 35,000 of them have gone out. And the testimonies are amazing. And God used just me, Mark, Joe Schmo, other people that had their hands in it. It's cool. Come on. Woo! Yeah. It's good, because God's good. But that was an example of that peace. It kept me stable. And I meditated on the word. I got it before. I got it before. It's easier to go through a situation when you got the revelation to go through a hard time. Amen? Amen. So staying in your position. Peace stillers. Oh, peace stillers are just common things in life. All sorts of common things that come at us from just busyness to I got to do this, I got to do this. And I've said before that there's an acronym for busy, and it is burdened under Satan's yoke. So I don't say I'm busy anymore. I called Kathy this week. We call each other about every once in a week, and we're like, hey, how are you doing? What's going on? I'm like, hey, how you doing? She goes, I'm highly productive. Like, yeah, we're not busy. We're highly productive. Going about the Lord's work. We don't want to say I'm busy for the Lord. No. Then what that's doing is I'm doing it out of myself. And it could run me into the ground and it's going to wear me out. But what I'm doing, it's His way and He builds the house. Woo! He builds the house. It is not in vain. It is not in vain. So all sorts of things. So not just things that are going on in everyday life, but things like what's going on inside us. Unforgiveness. Pain, hurt, rejection, worry, fear, condemnation, anger, hate, depression. Then it brings racing thoughts and voices and just all this stuff that's going on, just creating this turmoil inside of us. And I want to encourage you to take some time and sit before the Father and ask Him, Lord, what is it that steals my peace? Because something that may steal your peace may not be stealing your spouse's peace. For somebody else's peace. But it's important to come alongside each other in those things. Again, now that's John 10:10. Recognize when you've lost your peace, God has empowered us to overcome. Amen? Yes. God has empowered us to overcome. We're overcomers. It says that He overcame, so therefore we get to overcome in all situations. Doesn't mean it won't come, but we're going to overcome it. So He says in Philippians 4:11, this is where I want you to just kind of camp for a moment. So if you want to turn there, turn there. Philippians 4. We'll stay here for just a moment. Are you getting something out of this? Amen. Even if you get one thing, it's good because it's God. I said one thing will change you. It's one thing that you need to hear. Amen. So Philippians 4:11. Oops, let's just kind of skip that part. Oh, 4:11, the point I wanted to make about 4:11 is where Paul is saying in here, basically how he's learned. For I've learned how to be content, meaning that you can learn to walk in peace. You can learn how to walk in peace. I have learned one thing that just rocks my world is tight places, a lot of people, when there's a lot of noise going on. After church, when y'all are here and there's so much going on, I just want to go, ah, stop the noise. Quiet, everybody be at peace. But that's me. But God, I'm learning I can walk in peace. I can be in peace in the midst of that and enjoy you all. And I don't have to go hide in some place to get away from you. I like you. I do. I like you. I think you're very likable. Philippians 4, Philippians 4:4, he says this, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Let all men know and perceive and recognize your unselfishness. The Lord is near. He's coming soon. Do not fret or have anxiety about anything, but in all things, by every circumstance, by prayer, petition, thanksgiving, continue to make your once known to God. And God's peace shall be yours, and the tranquil state of your soul assured of its salvation through Christ Jesus. So you're going to be fearing nothing. You're being content, whatever sort that is. You're going to have this peace that transcends all understanding. It's going to guard you. In verse 8. Then he tells us what we're supposed to meditate on. Whatever's true, worthy, reverent, honorable, just, pure, the list goes on, what's praiseworthy, think on these things. I like this at the end of 8 where he says, fix your mind on these things. Sometimes it's a challenge, isn't it? When you got stuff going on, but you have to fix your mind and you have to dig in your heels and you have to say, no, I am going to believe this. I'm going to not believe the report of the world. I'm going to believe the report of the word. I'm digging my heels in. It's a challenge at times, but the Lord God gives you strength to do that. But that is part of our sacrifice. Then it says, practice in 9 what you've learned and received and heard and seen in me. Model your way. Practice, 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 and then the peace of God will be with you. Okay, I'm going to give you these steps. I'm going to outline these steps real quick. Step 1, Step one says this. Let's go past these. Okay, step one, it's prayer. And he says it in, where's the verse? Let me get to my word, because it's a little bit different than what it says in the Amplified. In 6, it says, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer, supplication, with thanksgiving, make your request known. Okay, so step one is prayer. This is the prayer that I talked about where we're making the great exchange. We're intimately face to face with the Father. This is what the Greek word means. It means we're coming before Him. We're making a vow to Him saying, I'm believing that whatever I'm giving you, you're going to give me something in return. So we're making the great exchange. So we're in prayer. Then He says supplication, by everything, by prayer and supplication. This word, it says that it's a person with some sort of a need, or a common need or a lack in their life that they appeal earnestly. And there's also a sense of boldness. They're setting their pride aside and they're crying out and they're saying, I need this. I need this. It's okay. It's okay to need something, and it's okay to go to God and say, I need it. I need it. Right here, He says, it's okay. Come to me boldly and confidently. So by prayer and then supplication. Step three, He says, with thanksgiving. It's an outpouring of grace. It's when you have these wonderful feelings that are just flowing freely from your heart. So as you are pleading with Him or earnestly beseeching Him with supplication, your thanksgiving needs to be matching that. There needs to be an equality there. It needs to be matching that with thanksgiving. Step four, making your requests known to God. There is a sense of, in this Greek word, it translates demanding. Sometimes in the body of Christ, we feel a little uncomfortable with that. What do you mean make a demand? I can't make a demand of God. Well, He says, put me in remembrance of my word. Command ye me. He says this in the Old Testament. Command my word. Because of the blessing, because of my covenant that I have with you, this is a contract. Now, you go and you show them this contract, and now you get what's in this contract. So what you're doing is you're placing a demand on that contract that you have established. That's the same thing with God's word. Through His blood, you've established a contract, and you have a right to go and say, right here, get in the devil's face and say, no, Lord, I need this. This is what's going on. So there's a demand. Expectation to receive, no room for doubt. You're filled with faith. It doesn't give you a right to be rude or arrogant, though, in approaching God, but a confidence. Step five, known. Making things known to God. This means when you're making it known, it means to let it out. Broadcast it. Let it out. Tell everyone. Tell the Lord. I'm saying this loud. This is what the Lord is doing for me. Becomes extremely bold when you're coming before the Lord. Extremely bold. It says enter into. In Peter, it says we enter into His throne room with boldness. So we enter in with boldness. We don't grovel and crawl in there on our knees. But we walk in boldness and confidence. Then we fall before the throne because of the awe of who He is and what He's done. Step six, it said, fix your mind on those things. Think about all those things. He has a long list in there. Step seven, practice. Practice it, practice it, practice it. Practice it, practice it. Right here, God's giving us the plan. If we want to get into our position and walk into what God has for us, it is time to get on our knees and to begin developing that intimacy with Him. But just walking around talking to Him, but getting in His Word and finding out how precious that we are and who He really is and all that He has in there. We don't have to go around walking with our disappointments and our discouragements and our brokenness and our unforgiveness and our hurts. Is anybody tired of that? Done with that. I carried that baggage around for too long. This is a much better place to be intimate with the Father. But then you have to protect it with peace, and you have to choose when those things come against you and you use the Word and you use those very steps right there. He laid it out. If you cannot walk in peace, we cannot hear from the Lord. We just need to chill. Lay like broccoli. Just chill. In the name of Jesus Christ. Pastor, sensing something.
You know, while we were sitting here, I sensed a lot of things. I sensed that there was a lot of people in here with their minds racing. Minds just racing on different things. And Christina, do we have enough copies of Satan's Mightiest Warfare Weapon on CD and the other one, Not Worth Losing Your Peace Over? You know, those would be a very good thing to listen to this week with, in light of what she said. And, you know, you will never develop that intimacy until you make an effort on your own. Until you make an effort to get those thoughts out of your mind that are contrary to God's Word. Right? You'll never develop that intimacy until you start doing that. We don't have, or I don't have, some magic pill to give you to just cure you just like that. But you know, the Word of God, when you start getting it down on the inside of you, it'll bring peace to your life. When you start practicing the Word of God, it'll start bringing peace. That fifth thing that she mentioned on our needs. Let's see, let me back this up just a tad bit. Step five, to make a thing known, to declare something. You know, there's needs. Everyone has needs, right? Who doesn't have any needs in here? But you know what I do? Instead of focusing on that need, I go to the Word of God and I find the Word on that need and I start meditating on the answer. I start meditating on the answer. Right? So, this was very good, Cassie. If you all want recordings of it, we got a recording, don't we, Chris? We do. We got a good recording of it. So, I want you to take this and I want you to listen to it over and over. And we do have those other CDs that we can give. They're out there in the foyer on Satan's Mightiest Warfare Weapon and Nothing Worth Losing Your Peace Over. If you'll take those and start studying those and making a purpose in your heart that you want these things. You know, I don't want to... 2009 was a great year, but you know what? 2010 can even be better. Amen? And there has to be some effort here in the Word of God, in our relationship with the Lord, to make those things the way they should be, right? Amen? Amen? So, won't you pray?
Let's pray. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Oh, Jesus. Jesus, we thank you for your Word. Lord, we thank you for what you did on the cross for us. Lord Jesus, you have released peace within us. Peace is in every single one of us. Lord, we make a choice right now. We determine, we set our face like flint, and we say, Lord, I choose peace. I choose not to be swayed by the things of this world. I choose not to walk by sight any longer, but I'm going to walk by your Word. I'm not going to receive what the world comes to give me, Lord, but I'm going to receive what your Word says. I receive peace. I choose peace. I choose peace. Brethren, declare that with me. Say it. I choose peace. Say it again. I choose peace. I choose peace. We receive that peace, Lord Jesus. We thank you that we can rest in you. We trust you, Lord, because you're trustworthy. Thank you for your Word, and may it prosper in us this week. It prosper in us. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Amen.